At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Right? Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warm republic of law. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now a part of the Easton Family Podcast, and we've got a great podcast for you. This is another one of our conference preview podcast editions. We're going to be riding solo on this one. Want to get you guys another one because we are now 20 short days away from the start of the college basketball season. And this is one of the easiest ones for me to do on a weekday since we're going with a conference with only 10 teams. We're going to be going with the Big 12, which means that we're going to have three conferences left after today, the Pac-12, the Atlantic 10, and the SEC. I plan on doing those within the next 2 weeks and then taking that final week or so to just get all the loose ends tied up and get you guys set for the upcoming college basketball season, but it's going to be similar to the other conference previews that you've been hearing on this podcast all throughout the offseason. In segment number one, we're going to be taking a look at the styles of play and betting trends of the Big 12. Segment number two, we're going to be taking a look at all the offseason moves that we've seen. We saw a coaching change over there at Kansas State. Dive into that. All the players that have been added via the transfer portal. If we can expect to see maybe something a little bit different out of some of these schools as well. Some of these chameleon-like schools like West Virginia that sometimes they play a little bit faster and slower. And then in the final segment, going to give you guys my projector or finish for this fine conference, in my opinion, the most loaded conference, top to bottom, in all of college basketball. So this is going to be a fun one. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, Amy does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review, as I typically do with a conference preview, since I'm not going to be doing the last 24 hours of news and notes of college basketball today. I'll be tying up the ones for Monday on the podcast tomorrow, along with the ones for Tuesday. So that should be all the formalities, and let's get into a Big 12 that, I mean, I talk about it this year, this being the most loaded conference at all of college basketball, but last year this was a good conference as well, as you had 7 out of the 10 teams in this conference win at least 19 games. Oklahoma had the best KenPom ranking of any team that did not make the NCAA tournament. You saw a team that had won just 2 games straight up the previous year win 2 games in the NCAA tournament, and Iowa State, and oh yeah, the national title winner in Kansas, they came from this conference as well. A little bit tough for Baylor towards the back half of the season, but they were able to do a solid job, as it was Kansas and Baylor tied at the top of the conference as both went 14-4. And from there, Texas Tech, despite the loss of Chris Beard, they were able to overcome that. They had themselves a very nice season. They go 12-6. Texas, who acquired Chris Beard, they fall 2 games short of Texas Tech, going 10-8 within the conference. TCU, Oklahoma State from there go 8-10. Oklahoma State was ineligible for the NCAA tournament, or else who knows what gems could have laid ahead for them. Oklahoma, Iowa State, they go 7-11 in the conference. Kansas State 6-12, and the team that brought up the rear was West Virginia 4-14. They lost just 3 games out of conference, just a very scary conference. And this was the best defensive conference in all of college basketball. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. West Virginia was the only team that allowed more than 67.5 points per contest last season, as they allowed 69 points per game. That was the worst defense in this entire conference. And you're finding it with a lot of these conferences. Like, the Big Ten is very much a defense-oriented conference. The SEC plays very fast, but there's really not a lot of jump shooting in terms of that conference either, so I do think that that is something that is very important to point out, but this is really a Big 12 that hangs its head on defense, and it really doesn't have a whole lot of schools that play very up-tempo. You saw with Chris Beard, and he would always play traditionally very slow over at Texas Tech, but that was on steroids last season, as out of the 358 D1 schools, Texas was in the bottom 20 in terms of total possessions per game. You got a Kansas team that they're typically somewhere in the middle. You're typically going to find them a little bit higher than normal in terms of their possessions per game, and we shall see what happens with Kansas State, because they bring in Jerome Tang, and he figures to be probably allowing this team to play a little bit more up-tempo, because he comes in from Baylor, so he's got a lot of familiarity with the Big 12, and for Baylor, they were 153rd in terms of possessions per game. Meanwhile, Kansas State, playing that Bruce Weber style, you always knew that they were going to be relatively methodical. They were 224th in the country last season in terms of total possessions per game, but Texas Tech, they were really a nice find last season as well. The coaching regime change didn't slow them down too much, as they played relatively at the same tempo as they did the last two seasons under Chris Beard. They were 198th in the country in terms of total possessions per game, while Chris Beard really throttled it down, 335th. So I did find that to be very interesting. And when it comes to Oklahoma State, they're actually the quickest team in this entire conference. They were the team that they had by far the least amount of offensive success, say, in Iowa State, but they were 75th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Porter Mosier, you tell that as the season went along, he was playing slower and slower. They were 278th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. I think that they are going to be 300th or higher in terms of that this season. And Iowa State, they crank things down as well, as they were about 230th in terms of total possessions per game as well. And what I thought was very interesting in terms of this conference as well is that you do have a couple teams like in Oklahoma State that they really go out there, they try to force quite a few steals, and then you got other teams that they really do not. But all these defenses do a relatively solid job. Iowa State and Baylor, they were 10th and 11th respectively in all of college basketball in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. Texas Tech was number 2. In terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. Kansas, they had a little bit of a rough beginning part to this season, but they were able to close out strong as they were able to crack the top 50 in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis as well. So that was solid for them. TCU towards back half of the season as well. They were 44th in the country in terms of total possessions per game, but it's all going to be about what are you going to be able to get out of these teams in terms of three-point shooting percentage, because TCU was legitimately an abject disaster when it came to three-point shooting percentage, as out of your 358 D1 teams last season, you saw good old Texas Christian go 321st in terms of three-point shooting percentage. Iowa State, they were a relatively grody team from three-point range as well. They ranked 278th. Oklahoma State, they were a team that they left quite a bit of something to be desired from distance as well, 345th in terms of three-point shooting percentage. Kansas, they're going to be looking a little bit new this season. You're no longer going to have Oshae Ogbaji and company like you had last season, but they were 51st in the country in terms of three-point shooting percentage. So you certainly do have a conference that it does really hang its head on defense. And as a result, when it came to a lot of these games in general in the Big 12, you did see the under do quite well. I just still remember, I believe it was the 2018-19 season, you did have Kansas play every single one of their road games to the under. And as a matter of fact, if you take a look since the beginning of the 2019-20 season, in terms of out-of-conference play, you've only had two teams play more overs than unders, and one of them is Oklahoma, with now Porter Mosier being in the fold. You've got to feel like that is probably going to be reversing itself just a little bit. So I do think that now that they've got a little bit more of that style down, that they are going to be playing a little bit slower. But you just take a look at all games in general last season, and for the Big 12, it was a little bit of a mixed bag in terms of the overs and the unders. You had one team do a solid job to the over, and that was West Virginia, which that makes sense because they had the worst defense in this conference. They played a little bit over 60% of their games to the over, 20 overs and 13 unders. You're going to notice that Bob Huggins, he's very willing to play very different styles. And then your three most positive teams to the under, it should make sense. Your worst three-point shooting teams: TCU, 18 unders, 15 overs, and a push. Oklahoma State, 17 unders, 13 overs, and Iowa State, 20 unders and 15 overs. And when it came to Big 12 play, the bookmakers, in my opinion, I thought that they did a very solid job of being able to adjust, take a look at what they had, and you had a relatively 50-50 split in terms of overs and unders when it came to Big 12 play. You had one team that was very demonstrative to the under. That would be Oklahoma State. 12 unders and 6 unders. When it came to Big 12 play, you had two teams very demonstrative to the over. Kansas State, 15 overs, 4 unders. West Virginia, 15 overs and 5 unders. And then, past that, relative stalemate. Texas and Iowa State both went 11 overs to 8 unders. You had TCU, 11 unders, 8 overs and a push, and then the rest of the teams, they either played one more game to the over slash the under, or they were pretty much 500. So worth pointing out. And then you had a couple surprises in this conference as well, in terms of being able to leap out and being able to have some good against the spread numbers as well, because I mentioned it with Iowa State. Two straight up wins the previous season. As a result, they go 19-16 against the spread. TCU was really your money making team. 20-11-3 against the spread, 64.5% clip in terms of covering. And then the biggest disappointment, we all expected a lot out of Texas. 13-20-1 against the spread. And when it came to what you were able to get in conference, it did feel like bookmakers probably didn't catch up enough to what we were seeing out of Texas. 7-11-1 against the spread in conference. And the teams that were able to make you money were more of the defense-oriented teams. Texas Tech, 14-7 against the spread within the conference. Oklahoma, they were able to tighten up a little bit on defense, 11-9 against the spread in Big 12 play. TCU, they were able to do a solid job, 12-7-1 against the spread when it came to conference play as well. And when it comes to this conference as well, typically you think of some of the best home courts in all of college basketball, things like the Octagon of Doom, list goes on and on, but you did have three teams cover at least 60% of their games on the road. Iowa State, 6-4 against the spread on the road. Kansas State, 9-3 against the spread on the road. And TCU, they ended up going 7-2-1 against the spread on the road. And what all these have in common is that underdogs, they were able to do much better than favorites when it came to this conference last season. You did have some of these teams do a solid job of being able to cover outside of the conference. And, well, you just had a few teams that in general didn't find themselves as an underdog a lot. Baylor and Kansas went a combined 0-3 against the spread as an underdog because there was just a lack of opportunities for them. But Texas Tech, 6-2 against the spread as an underdog. Kansas State, 11-5 against the spread. Iowa State, 13-7. Oklahoma, 10-6. And then you had TCU, 13-5-1 against the spread. Really the only team that really did not live up to their billing. There were two of them. Texas, 2-7 against the spread as an underdog. West Virginia, 5-12 against the spread as an underdog. Both of these teams were a little bit disappointing from what we were expecting. So those are some of the betting trends that we saw in the Big 12 last season. As you can tell, a little bit more of a defense-oriented conference. And coming up next, we're going to be diving into that a little bit more, taking a look at all the moves that we saw in the offseason for the Big 12 and trying to decipher what we can get out of these rosters. That is coming up next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eves Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast, the Big 12 Preview Edition.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Cousins with myself, Greg Eats Spears, and now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. In segment number one, we ran through some of the betting trends and what we all saw last season in the Big 12. Now let's take a look at some of the changes that we've seen, some of the roster turnover of the Big 12. And right now, the biggest changes that we've seen is with Kansas State. That goes without saying because you've got a coaching regime change, as out is Mr. Bruce Weber, in is Jerome Tang. He was an assistant at Baylor last season, so that is going to be able to help them out quite a bit, as he's got good familiarity with the Big 12, a very good recruiter, and just a completely new roster in general. They bring back someone in Ismail Massad, who was able to do a solid job last season. He's someone who's saying 6'9", he's able to pop some threes. And then Marquise Noel, also one of the main holdovers from this team, double-figure scorer, someone that when I was at Little Rock 2 seasons ago, he was able to really be a facilitator, a little bit of a feast or famine guy, but he comes back after last season. He did a solid job being able to put in there right around 12.5 points, 5 assists per contest, so that is going to be good for them. And Marquise Noel last season needs to improve upon his three-point shooting a little bit, but also shot 83% at the free throw line, so that should be able to help them out. Now it's going to be about what you're going to be able to get out of some of these newer guys. It's Desi Sills. Many people may remember he was a starter for Arkansas a few seasons ago. He was at Arkansas State last year. Not a great three-point shooter, but someone who should be able to take a little bit of a load off in terms of being able to facilitate a good defense first guard. And then you bring in Abiyami Uola. He was over at Hofstra last season, began his career in the Atlantic Sun as he was doing a solid job, I believe it was for Jacksonville, and then he transfers over to Arkansas, really did not play much there, and then at Hofstra, he goes off for 8-plus rebounds per contest, so he should be able to add a little bit of something, and then Tiki Green is one of the more intriguing players as he is going to be an up transfer. He was in the America East last season, and while he was in the America East, he was able to do a very solid job as he was able to put up a double-figure amount of points per game. Last season, he was able to put up a little bit over 12 points per contest, shot about 37% from three-point range, 6'4", a little bit of a jitterbug guy who was able to give you 5-plus rebounds per contest. contest. So that's going to be able to help them out. And then they're looking to guys like Cam Carter, Jarrell Colbert, who were outcast a little bit at Mississippi State for Cam Carter. Really didn't see a lot of playing time. And Colbert, high upside coming in from LSU. He's 6'10", 235 pounds. Should be able to help out a little bit down low. But certainly, I do think that Kansas State going to be relying a little bit too much on transfers this offseason. That should be hurting them quite a bit. And for West Virginia, this is going to be a bunch that is going to be relying a lot on transfers. And with West Virginia, this is the one team that you could see really having a flip over of styles from previous years, because you notice it back when they had Derek Culver and Oscar Tshiebwe. They were one of the slower teams in all of college basketball. When they made the 2021 NCAA tournament, they had guys like Sean McNeil and company that were really willing to bomb it from three-point range. Now they're going to be relying upon a little bit of a new-look team, although this new-look team isn't as new-look as you might think, because one of the bigger guys for this team this season is going to be Emmett Matthews, who actually began his career at West Virginia, transferred away to Washington. And while he was at Washington last year, he was able to put up right around 10 points per contest. He's 6'7". He's got a little bit of versatility. He has been working on that three-point shot a little bit, but I think that it's going to be important to get just James Okonkwo out there on the floor in general. This was one of their top recruits a few seasons ago, was limited just 3 games last season. He was dealing with injuries all throughout. That is an out-of-sight, out-of-mind guy that I think is going to have a big impact for this team. They also bring in Eric Stevenson. Among qualifying D1 players at the Power Conference level, he's pretty much best free throw shooter in all of college basketball. Shot 97% at the charity stripe. He has been a feast or famine guy, playing for Wichita State, playing for Washington. Guy has been a little bit all over the place. Last year, he was at South Carolina, and certainly is going to need someone to get him the ball. And Joe Toussaint might be that guy. Joe Toussaint, he was very much a glue guy while he was at Iowa last season. Not a guy that's going to go out there, going to give you a whole bunch of scoring, as he averaged fewer than 5 points per contest on an Iowa team that, well, we know Iowa. They do a very good job of being able to put the biscuit in the basket, but a little bit over 3 assists per contest, nearly a C and a half per game. One of the best on-ball defenders that you were able to find out there in the Big Ten. That is going to be impactful. And then they bring back Trey Mitchell as well. Mr. Mitchell, he was playing at Texas last season, went away from the program due to just personal issues. But if you look at what he did at UMass 2 seasons ago, at 6'9", he was putting in there 18 and a half points, north of 6 boards, block per contest, shot it very well from 3-point range. If you're able to get a little bit more out of Adrian Johnson, who was able to emerge towards back half last season with a steal and a half per contest, this is a bunch that I think could be very fearsome. Another team that's going to be looking quite a bit different this season is going to be Baylor. I'm going to be very curious to see what they're able to get out of Caleb Lohner down low. He is a transfer that comes in from BYU. He was able to do a solid job being able to put in there right around 6.5 points, 6.5 boards per contest, and he is going to be returning to a team that they've got much of their backcourt returning. Adam Flagler, a career nearly 40% three-point shooter. He is back in full, not a guy that necessarily does the world's greatest job of being able to facilitate, and that is going to be the big question for the team, because James Akinjo, when he was fully healthy, and there were a lot of times in which he was not fully healthy last season, but when he was able to do some nice things for this team. But they bring in Keontae George, a 6'4" guard, one of the best recruits in all of college basketball. I don't know how much he's going to be able to deliver in terms of facilitation, but I do think that he is certainly going to be able to upgrade this team. And then on top of that, I was talking about how they bring in Caleb Lohner. He should be able to pair up very well with Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua, just an energizer bunny out there last season. He was dealing with a little bit of ailment as well, and he has just throughout the entirety of his career, 8.5 points, nearly 7 boards per contest. Clean bill of health is going to be big, especially with someone like a Jeremy Shane being out of the fold. I really liked what Shane was able to bring to the table last season, but you also bring back Flo Thamba. He was a part of that title team from a few seasons ago as well. Losing Kendall Brown, I do think is a little bit more of a loss than people give it credit for, but LJ Cryer, he was another guy that was all sorts of banged up. 13.5 points per contest when he was fully healthy. This is going to be a very, very fearsome team, to say the least. And then you've got another team that they are coming off of a title as well, ironically enough. Each of the last 2 titles, they come from the Big 12. As Kansas, they won the title last year, 2 seasons ago. As we know, it was the Baylor team I just mentioned. But when it comes to this Kansas team, what I think is going to be very curious is the passing of the torch from Oshae Ogbaji to the rest of this backcourt, as they do bring back Jalen Wilson. Wilson was suspended for the first few games of the season last year due to a DUI. You could tell that it just took him a few games to be able to get in rhythm in general, which is why Kansas Kansas was a different looking team towards back half of the season. And this is a Kansas bunch that they've got familiarity with, needing a little bit of time for some of these transfers to gel. A big reason why they were able to win the title last season was because Remy Martin really played his best basketball in the final, we're going to call it, month or so. Really towards the beginning part of the season last year, Remy Martin was not doing too much for this team. He was in the doghouse of Bill Self. Now he's going to be out of the fold, and now it's going to be up to David McCormick, Mr. Swiss Army Knife himself, a guy that when I was at Texas Tech last season at 6'6", put in there 10 points. He's able to give you 5 boards, 3 assists, not a supreme 3-point shooter by any stretch of the imagination, but someone that was able to do some very nice work for the team and trying to help out with regards to this backcourt after you lose Christian Brown, who was just such an integral part to this team last season. 6'6" combo player that shot nearly 40% from 3, 14.6 boards, 3 assists per contest. Obagi, who I mentioned a little bit earlier, most outstanding player of the Final Four. Anyone that had a wager on that, tell you right now, he probably didn't deserve that moniker. But DeJuan Harris Jr., when he was out there last season, he showed moments of brightness, a little bit over 4 assists per contest. Ball's going to be in his hands a lot. And then you got 6'8" Grady Dick, who I do think can be sort of that Christian Brown replacement. He is someone that's able to bomb it from 3-point range, actually has a little bit more size as well. So going to be very fascinating to see what happens there. A team that hasn't sucked a lot into transfers, but a squad that in general, they've been able to do a very nice job in terms of their recruiting. And a team that year in and year out, they always do a solid job with their transfers, but they're going to be a little bit behind the eight ball because of what we saw this offseason. That would be Texas Tech, as Texas Tech, they were bringing in my opinion, one of the best transfers in all of college basketball, and Fardaz Amick. Amick was in the top 3 in terms of rebounds per game each out of the last 2 seasons, but he is currently dealing with a foot issue. Who knows when we are going to be seeing him out there on the floor, which means that super senior Kevin O'Banner, who was able to really turn over a new leaf from what he did at Oral Roberts, because you can't get too different from just a school to a different school than Oral Roberts to Texas Tech. It's like going from being a marathon runner to having to run splits or vice versa, trying to go from running sprints and then now you're a little bit more of a distance runner, and that's what Kevin O'Banner was trying to do, and he did so quite well last season. He was able to do a nice job down low in terms of defense. He's still able to give you some good contributions from the outside, being able to pop some threes, but just a completely different style. He took it on very well, and the one thing that Texas Tech did lack last season was really consistency from the outside, and they've decided, you know what, we're going to look to Kerwin Walton to be able to help out with that. 6'5" gentleman that 2 seasons ago at North Carolina, he was able to shoot over 40% from 3-point range, just fell out of favor in general when the new coaching regime of Hubert Davis and company took over at North Carolina last season. He was not really finding his shot in general, so we shall see if he's able to find that touch here at Texas Tech. But Texas Tech has had a lot of success bringing in transfers that may not necessarily fit the mold. You were even able to go back a few seasons ago when Mac McClung came in from Georgetown. I didn't know how that fit was going to be able to go. It actually went quite well. I do think that Mark Adams is one of the best coaches in all of college basketball, and I think that last season we saw just how much of a role Mark Adams played in the success of Chris Beard as well. Daniel Bacho, you got to figure, is going to be taking over a lot of the minutes as long as Fardaz Amick is going to be out of the fold, but even with all that, I think that this team is going to be fine, especially with bringing in a guy like a Damarian Williams, who is part of a Gardner Webb team last season that was one of the top mid-major defenses in all of college basketball. Probably not going to be lighting up the scoreboard, but this is a Texas Tech team that they're looking to play a bunch of first-to-60 win-style games, and I do think that they're going to be able to do that once again this season. And I mentioned it with Texas. Really, their undoing last year, in my opinion, was bringing in someone that they didn't need to. Marcus Carr was a big, giant albatross for this team, and, well, he does have another year under him, so I do think that things are going to be a little bit more smooth, but we shall see how things go between he and another very ball-dominant player that comes in from Iowa State in Tyrese Hunter. Tyrese Hunter, one of the top freshmen in all of college basketball in terms of steals forced, but Marcus Carr, he's an okay 3-point shooter. You can tell that sometimes he presses a little bit too much. Tyrese Hunter, he's not a very good 3-point shooter. Someone who shot below 30% from 3-point range. Now, Rowan Brumba, I think, is one of the more underrated guards guards in all of college basketball, kid from the state of Massachusetts. I really like his game, but how many minutes is he going to be able to get in this backcourt? You had Dylan Disu, all sorts of banged up last season. And when he was at full force at Vanderbilt, he was really able to do some nice things, as he was able to be a solid three-point shooter. He's able to give you 8-plus rebounds per game, double-figure amount of points. And then Timmy Allen, he was Mr. Versatile for the team. We shall see if Brock Cunningham is able to take some strides forward as well, because with Texas, they've got all sorts of talent. They do a solid job on defense, but the pieces have not been able to meld together, as these are a bunch of guys that they began their careers in so many different places. So I am very much fascinated to see how that goes. And I'm also interested to see how things go in season number 2 for Porter Mosier at Oklahoma. I was mentioning it a little bit in segment number 1, the fact that Oklahoma was beginning to play a little bit slower as the season was going along, and I do think that Porter Mosier is really going to be looking to just do what he did while he was over at Loyola Chicago, get things to really be slowed down. And he does have a pair of versatile big men in Tanner and Jacob Groves. Obviously, Tanner had by far the better output last season, as he was able to put up 11.5 points, 6 boards per contest. Someone that from 3-point range shot 38% from 3. Jacobs was still able to see a few starts, but a little bit more of a defense-oriented guy for this team. They do lose a few key pieces from last season. Elijah Harkless, Umaja Gibson, those are going to be some big losses in my opinion, but I'm very curious to see how someone like a Joe Bezmiel is going to be able to come in, as he last season was able to put up some very solid numbers while he was at George Washington, one of the better players in the Atlantic 10, as he was able to put up 16.5 points, 5.5 boards, able to be a solid 3-point shooter. And he comes over from a George Washington team that they themselves did not necessarily play super duper up tempo. When it comes to Oklahoma, Jalen Hill was able to do a nice job towards the back half of last season. I'm curious to see if Yaya Kita could take some strides forward down low as well, as this is a bunch that I think that they're going to be a little bit gritty. But I think the big question is, can Grant Shurfield be able to duplicate the production they had in Nevada last season while also being able to step up a little bit more on defense? Because Nevada had their issues on the defensive end last season, and when it came down to it as well, when it came to Nevada, when they really needed him to be the man, he was able to put up scoring, but at the same time, the team really struggled on the defensive end. And you can't have that in Porter Mosier's style, but someone that last season had 19 points, 6 assists, a little bit turnover prone, but also is a career about 34% 3-point shooter, so someone that certainly is able to put the biscuit in the basket. So I am very curious to see what he's going to be able to lend this season. Then I'm also very curious to see what Iowa State is going to be able to do, because Iowa State was one of the biggest surprises in all of college basketball last season. You just don't see it, where you have a team win 2 games straight up, and then they win 2 NCAA tournament games. That was very heartwarming. And both of those wins, by the way, came against SWAC schools. And you could just tell, in general, in my opinion, that there was a lack of comfort for TJ Otzelberger when I was at UNLV. He's more of a Midwest guy. He was able to get back to his roots, and he actually began his career as a little bit of an assistant over at Iowa State back when you had the mayor in town. But with Iowa State, a little bit of a new look bunch, because Isaiah Brockington, high usage guy that was able to put in their 17 points, 7 boards, led the team in both categories, says you really didn't have anyone else average more than 4.1 rebounds per game. He is gone. Tyrese Hunter, who is a very talented freshman who was able to do a good job of being able to generate some steals, he is gone. But at the same time, you get the St. Bonaventure bundle coming in, as Jerron Holmes was able to be a 6'4" mid-30s three-point shooter and was really able to stuff the stat sheet. So that is going to be solid for the team. And then Oshuno Oshuni was one of the best shot blockers in all of college basketball last season. Not a guy that's going to be stretching the floor by any stretch of the imagination, but helps out an Iowa State team that last season they just didn't have a lot down low. I mentioned it, Isaiah Brockington, the only guy that gave the team more than 4.1 rebounds per contest. So certainly I do think that they're going to be able to do a better job on that front. Trey King is someone that is very fascinating. He's 6'7", began his career at Eastern Kentucky, was able to be a very versatile guy that was able to pop some threes, went to Georgetown, really never played for Georgetown, so we shall see what happens there. Hassan Ward, he is going to be improving the team's defense as well, and an Iowa State team that, to begin with, they were very, very good on defense, but poor on offense. It looks like they're going to be the same way once again this season. Gabe Kelscher, he was able to be a solid three-point shooter as a freshman at Minnesota last few seasons. Really a whole big, giant nothing burger for him, so I'm curious to see what he's able to do this season. And then Jeremiah Williams, it looks like he's going to be dealing with an injury. He might not be able to play at all this season, as he was coming in from Temple, that is going to be putting them a little bit behind the eight ball as well. I was feeling a little bit better about the scene prior to that injury, so I'm going to need to dock them a little bit on that front as well. And then when it comes to the front of another team that they've been a little bit surprising in recent years as well, Oklahoma State. Two seasons ago, they were able to really bust through and make some noise in the NCAA tournament back when they had the number one overall pick in Cade Cunningham, and you really feel for what the program had to go through last season. They got sanctions that really no other school did from that FBI sting. They had a postseason ban placed on them. Now they've got a lot of pieces that returned from one of the better defensive teams in all of college basketball last season, but once again, a team that they really struggled from three-point range, and I think the key for this team is being able to get Avery Anderson and Bryce Thompson up and running, as there are a few transfers that are coming in for Oklahoma State, but they also lose Isaac Lykelly. He was one of the most versatile players in all of college basketball, not a guy that was going to give you a bunch of points, as he had right around 7 to 8 points per contest last season, but did a good job being able to pull in a couple boards, be able to force a few steals. List goes on and on of the accolades that he was able to do, and they did take a little bit of a blow as right now, Russell Harrison, he is not eligible to join the team to begin the season. He was a little bit of an up transfer coming in from Louisiana Monroe, and I felt like he could have been a little bit of an Isaac Lykelly replacement. So that places more of the onus on Thompson and Avery Anderson to just be a little bit better this season in general, as both of these guys were the main scorers for the team, 12 points per contest out of Anderson, and then Thompson, he was able to put in their 10.5 points per contest, but these guys combined to shoot right in the neighborhood about 30.5% to 31%. from 3-point range, so I'm going to need them to improve. Now, I will say, for Avery Anderson, he was able to do a very solid job in terms of versatility in general. He's able to give the team a little bit over 3 rebounds, just under 2 steals per contest, 2.3 assists per game, so a human stat sheet sufferer. You don't have quite as much versatility when it comes to Bryce Thompson, and I do think that bringing in Caleb Asbury, a double-figure scorer who comes in from Texas State. Texas State was a little bit of a slower team, but at the same time, very much a defense-oriented team, much like Oklahoma State is as well. He's going to be all up. He was able to shoot 40% from 3-point range there. And what I will say about Anderson as well, you take a look at what he did in the final 12 games of the season. He really took hold of this team. 15.5 points, right around 2.8 assists, shot more around 33.5% from 3-point range. I do think that he was able to show some moments of brightness there, but what else I think is going to be very key for this team is just seeing if Musa Cisse is able to give you a little bit more of something in terms of scoring, as last season he was able to be a very solid defender in general, and he is just a low down low at 7'1". He's able to give you some block shots, but at the same time has never really been able to take off with his offensive game, and you're able to say that for so many of the guys on this roster, which is a little bit of the reason why they also brought in John Michael Wright, who is absolutely able to tear it up at High Point now. Big step up going from the Big South over to Oklahoma State, but last season, 8.5 points, 4.5 boards, 3.5 assists per contest, which was on par with what he did 2 seasons ago as well. He's able to do a relatively solid job of being able to shoot it from 3-point range on a guy that is going to go out and he's going to shoot over like 40% from three or anything like that, but I do like his overall game, and I do think that Oklahoma State, if they could just get a little bit more scoring in general, and if they're able to get Chris Harris Jr. out there on the floor, as well as he missed the entirety of the 2021-22 season after he was able to be a nice little role player during the 2019-20 campaign. I think that there's a little bit of upside with him that is going to be very important for this Oklahoma State team. And then you take a look at a bunch of TCU. They're a team that they really didn't utilize the transfer portal too much here in the offseason, and they are the last team that we need to break down in terms of the roster. But what you like about TCU is that this is just one of the most hard-nosed teams in all of college basketball. There's never been a question as to whether or not Jamie Dixon is able to coach, but whether or not he's going to be able to get these guys just firing on all cylinders. Ironically enough, they did go to Oklahoma State to grab, really, in my opinion, their main transfer. The other guy that they bring in is Tyler London Blade, and he's really not going to be able to deliver too much, but they do bring in a guy in Rondale Walker, who just really couldn't find his footing last season with Oklahoma State 2 seasons ago in the Big 12. He was able to put up 8 points, 3 boards, a little bit over a steal per contest, shot in the mid-30s from 3-point range, a former top 80 recruit, so that is going to be able to help out the TCU backcourt, especially with them having a little bit of a question about them as to how big the suspension of Damian Baugh is going to be. He is going to be a little bit suspended because he entered into the draft. Apparently, there is something that happened with a paperwork and or agent, so we shall see, because he was the main facilitator for the team. 4.5 assists per contest. They also lose Fran Farabella, who was able to be a solid contributor for the team in past years as well, so that really puts the onus on Mike Miles to take off, have an absolutely supreme year, as he was able to give the team 15.5 points per contest. He was able to dole out the ball with nearly 4 assists per game, but also a guy that shot under 30% from 3-point range, and that is the one fatal flaw that you've got with TCU. TCU is going to guard you coming off the bus. TCU does a very nice job of being able to rebound by committee. These are just 5 guys that, in general, when they are out there on the floor, they are like a whole bunch of Energizer bunnies. They are going to be able to do a great job of supplying that. But on the offensive end, they get very careless. They do turn the ball over quite a bit. There doesn't seem to be a lot of chemistry there. So there's a lot of great things with the TCU team. And I do think that Micah Peavy is going to be able to take some strides forward this year as well. I like the way that Emmanuel Miller was able to play for this team. You're going to be probably able to get 5 to 6 rebounds per game out of Eddie Lampkin Jr. But it is up to just being able to get a little bit more from the outside. Guy that is in like his 20th year of college basketball was out here in lovely Las Vegas for his high school years, Chuck O'Bannon. I do think that he's going to need to shoot a little bit more consistently from 3-point range. He had his moments of brilliance last season, but in a lot of games he just faded away in general, as he was able to put up 9.5 points, 4 boards, shot about 34% from 3-point range last season, but you just never know whether he's going to give you 25 and make like 5 threes on a given night, or if he's going to give you a 5-point lunker where he just doesn't deliver anything on the defensive end either. So lots of question marks there, and it is going to be a great year out there in the Big 12. Like I said in segment number one, I think that this is the best conference at all of college basketball. And coming up next, I have the tough task of giving my projector a finish for what I think is the best conference in all of college basketball, and I shall do so next right here on Cusco Seats with myself, Peggy Spears, and now a part of the Cusco Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get emotional with me, Riley Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Riley Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Get emotional with me, Riley Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations solutions that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here in Las Vegas for Ghost Cousins with myself, Greg Spears, and now part of the Beeson Family and Podcast. It's absolutely amazing to be able to take a look at such a good conference here in the Big 12. It was a little bit tough to come up with my projector or finish, but we have done so. And just a little bit of a reminder before I go into my projected order or finish for the Big 12 for this upcoming season, it is that for the news and notes of college basketball from Monday, I will be tying those up tomorrow. So anything that I miss on Monday, we will be doing on Tuesday since I did a conference preview today. But with that said, let's dive into my projector or finish. And at dead last, I'm going to have to go with Kansas State. Now, the big X factor that I really didn't talk about in the last segment with Kansas State, that'd be Keontae Johnson, getting him into the fold. A 6'5 gentleman that was the SEC preseason player of the year. That is absolutely massive. And I mean, I put Kansas State at number 10 in my projector or finish. If you tell me that at the end of the year, Kansas State is a top 50 team in KenPom, I would not be surprised, but you just have to wonder whether or not Keontae Johnson is actually going to play this season, because he does have a little bit of an insurance policy when he plays. I believe it's something like 9 to 10 overall games of basketball. This is college or pro. He forfeits millions upon millions of dollars, so he really has to be betting on himself. He has to think that it's really worth it with Kansas State, but you do bring in someone like a Taki Green. He was able to put up about 12 to 13 points per contest last season while he was over at Stony Brook, but Stony Brook, not quite the same as playing in the Big 12. Good versatility, able shooting the mid-30s from three-point range. Abiana Iolia, he is someone that is going to be coming in from Hofstra. He was able to have a solid year last year. 7 points, 7 boards, able to do a solid job down low to be all up out this team. Someone like Jarrell Colbert, I think, is going to be able to do some solid work after he was a little bit of an afterthought last season from Kansas State, but many people had him as a top 100, top 150 recruit coming in, and they do bring back Ismail Bussad, 6'8 combo player, had 7 points, 3 boards per contest from three-point range last season. He shot about 33%, and then Marquise Noel, you got to figure that he's going to be the main facilitator for the team once again. It's 2.2 steals per contest. I was in the top 20 in all of college basketball, but trying to get down the new style of Jerome Tang, I think that he has success here in Kansas State in 2 to 3 years. I think season number one, it's going to be a little bit tough. Lots of moving pieces aside from Musad along with Marquise Noel. I think it's going to be a little bit tough for Kansas State. Lots of question marks, lots of up transfers. As a result, I've got them number 10 in terms of my projected order of finish. At number 9, I'm going to be going with Oklahoma. I like Porter Mosier as a coach, but I just don't see where the production is going to be coming from for a lot of these guys. You do lose from last season season, Umaj Gibson, along with Elijah Harkless. And I think that the Harkless loss is just such a big one because he's not necessarily a guy that put up flamethrower numbers or anything like that, but he was just Mr. Do a little bit of everything. At like 6'3", 6'4", gave the team 10 points, 4 boards, a little bit over a steal per contest, shot 33% from 3-point range. He just did the little winning things for this team. Now, they bring back the Groves brothers. They're going to need to get a little bit more out of Jacob, but Tanner Groves last season, right around 11.5 points, 6 boards. He was able to shoot about 38% from 3-point range. That is going to be a hard guard for a lot of teams, but depth is going to be a little bit of an issue. Now, once again, I do think that with Oklahoma bringing back a lot of their, shall we say, lesser guys from last season, that they are going to be able to do that. And I just have my question marks in general with Grant Sherfield really being the man in the backcourt, because with Umaj Gibson out of the fold, now you're going to be looking at Sherfield, who had 19 points, 6 assists per contest last season, but he also turned the ball over 3.3 times per contest. And despite him having really good numbers, it was a case where Nevada didn't necessarily thrive off of them. You also have an Oklahoma team that they don't do a good job in the interior. They were 340th in the country in terms of blocks per game, so that is going to hurt them. They bring in Yaya Kita, who comes in from Missouri, but I just don't know if he's necessarily going to be able to deliver a lot of production in general. Someone like Joe Bezmiel from George Washington, I think that he's going to be able to have a solid year in the backcourt, but I do have a lot of question marks when it comes to this Oklahoma team. So as a result, I did put them number 9 in terms of my projector finish. At number 8, I'm going to be going with Iowa State. They're going to be taking on a pair of Bonnies to try to be able to right the ship here. And I do like Oshun Oshuni, a guy that has been averaging darn near 3 blocks per contest in every year that he has been on campus. And then Dron Holmes, he is able to get the ball to its homes. 13.5 points, 5 boards, 3.5 assists, steal per contest. Shot only about 27% from 3-point range last season. 2 seasons ago, though, he was able to do a much more solid job from 3-point range, shooting about 38.5% from 3-point range. I don't think that he's quite as good as that 38% 3-point shooting. I don't think he's as bad as his 27.5% 3-point shooting. I think that he's going to be able to do a fine job for this team. But at the same time, with Iowa State, I did have to downgrade them a little bit because I was sort of going back and forth whether or not to have they or West Virginia in this spot. But with Iowa State, they did suffer a little bit of a late offseason injury to Jeremiah Williams. It looks like he is not going to be able to get out there on the court. That is going to be hurting them. Hassan Ward, he does come in from VCU. He's 6'9". He's able to generate some steals. That is going to be good for the team. But losing someone that was the heart and soul of that backcourt from last season and Tyrese Hunter, I think is going to be tough. And I think that it's honestly a lose-lose on both fronts because I just don't know what he's going to be able to deliver for Texas this season. And then Trey King is really the X factor for the team. 15 points, 6 boards, shot 34% from 3 as a 6'9 combo player when he was at Eastern Kentucky 2 seasons ago. Did not play last season, so we shall see what we're going to be able to get out of him. Iowa State, lots of moving parts. They do return Gabe Kalischer, but probably going to be another rough year from distance for Iowa State, and Iowa State going to be looking to play a lot of games where first of 55 wins, and I do think that Iowa State pulls out a few out of conference. I think it might be a little bit tougher for them in conference. So as a result, I do have our good friends Iowa State and number 8 in terms of my projector finish. Number 7, I am going to be going with West Virginia. West Virginia loses a lot of pieces from last year, but Kadrian Johnson was able to step up towards back half of the season. He was able to give the team 5.5 points. He was able to do a solid job with a little bit over 1.3 steals per contest as well. Really from January 29th on, he was elevated into a starter's role. He had a little bit closer to 6.5 points per contest and shot 39% from 3-point range as a 6'3", a little bit of a versatile guy. But what I think is going to be the key for this team is Trey Mitchell. Mitchell left Texas last season due to a few personal issues, and 2 seasons ago, while he was at UMass, he was one of the better players in all of college basketball, and he was one of the most coveted players on the transfer portal for the offseason of 2021 after he had 18.5 points, 6 boards, a little bit over a block per contest, shot about 40% from 3-point range. I also do like that they bring back a guy that they lost via the transfer portal a couple off seasons ago in Evan Matthews Jr. Matthews Jr. was a 2-year starter for West Virginia, and then as a freshman, he was more of a part-time starter, but was really able to elevate his game at Washington last season, where he was able to be the man a little bit more. 11.5 points, 4.5 boards, shot 34% from 3 as a 6'7 combo player. And what I do like about this West Virginia team as well is that they no doubt look a little bit different than they did a few seasons ago. When they had Oscar Tshiebwe, Derek Culver, they played very slow. Last season, they were willing to be a little bit more of a team that was willing to bomb it from 3-point range. Bob Huggins, he never stays complacent. A few seasons ago, we all remember it was Press Virginia where they were looking to generate like 50 turnovers per game. He is very willing to adapt to his roster. Bringing in someone like an Eric Stevenson, I think, is going to be able to help them out a little bit. He's a very good free throw shooter. Can be sometimes a little bit hit or miss in terms of his deep shooting, but I do think that he's going to be adding a good element to this team. And if you're able to get James Okonkwo out there on the floor, a guy that he was a former top 125 recruit, that is going to be big for this team as well. So I do see some upside here with West Virginia. I did put them number 7 in terms of my projector or finish. And number 6, I'm going to be going with Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is a team that I really go back and forth on because this team is going to be amazing on defense. The big key is Bryce Thompson and Avery Anderson being able to take off. Anderson towards back half of last season, I believe it was the last 12 games where he averaged right around 15 points per contest. He was able to do that. And Musa Cisse, he's terrific down low. 6.5 boards per contest. At 7'1", he had nearly 2 blocks per game, but offense, a little bit of a work in progress. You do lose Rondale Walker as well, a guy that I thought had a little bit of upside for this team. And then on top of that, Russell Harrison, who was supposed to be coming in from Louisiana Monroe, I thought that he was going to be sort of that Isaac Likely sort of clone and be able to take his spot in the lineup. That is not going to be happening for this Oklahoma State team. And Oklahoma State, they are going to be relying upon some up transfers, and that's always a little bit of a roll of the dice, but they've been able to do a solid job time and time again of bringing in some of these guys like a Bryce Thompson and having them play a big role for this team. John Michael Wright, 18.5 points, 4.5 boards, 3.5 assists per contest last season at High Point. He is a do-it-all sort of guy. And Caleb Asbury, I do think, is going to be a very good, not just defending guard for the team, but he's going to be able to help out their three-point shooting as well. Last season, he was at Texas State, 13.5 points, 4.5 boards, steal per contest, shot 38.5% from three-point range. Previous year, shot closer to 42% from three-point range. I think that that is going to be very much a natural fit for Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, despite everything that they went through, they did a very nice job of being able to keep their roster all together in general. So I do think that kudos needs to be given to Mike Boynton. I think that he's one of the most underrated coaches in all of college basketball. I do think that the biggest key for this team is that they just don't have the offensive firepower to really crack into the top 5 in this conference, which is why I do have them number 6 in terms of my projector or finish, but I could see them when it's all said and done perhaps being a top 25 team because that defense is that strong. At number 5 in terms of my projector or finish, it is Texas Tech. I would have had them number 3 if Fardaz Amick, I knew what I was going to be able to get out of him. That foot injury, though, it is just so big. With Amick, he was number 1 in terms of rebounds per contest during the 2020-21 season. I believe that he was number 2 last season. Losing him after he, at 6'11", was able to shoot over 40% from 3-point range last season, 19 points, 13.5 boards. He was able to give the team about 1.3 blocks per contest. This guy did it all. That is very, very tough for the team, but I do think that Daniel Baccio is going to be able to do a solid job down low for this team. He certainly is not going to be quite what you were going to be able to get out of Fardaz Amick. He's not quite as versatile, but he's able to do a solid job down low for this team. I think that he's going to be a nice shot blocker. 6'11", 245-pound guy, so relatively the same frame as Fardaz Amick. With Texas Tech as well, I do like that they brought in Kerwin Walton as well, because this team was very much all over the place in terms of three-point shooting percentage. Walton, 2 seasons ago at North Carolina, was able to shoot over 40% from three-point range, and the coming of age of Kevin O'Banner last season was very good. You could tell that he was a little bit disjointed towards the beginning part of the season, trying to transfer over from Oral Roberts, a team that they are looking to play really no defense whatsoever, and they're looking to just put the ball in the basket. That was a little bit of a changeover, and for Kevin O'Banner, you could tell that he just didn't necessarily have a spot on this team to begin with. The final 6 games of the season, though, he had 10-plus points in every one of them. Actually, make that the final 7 games of the season. He averaged in that span 12 points, 8.7 boards per contest, shot 42% from 3-point range as a 6'8 combo player. That's an element that is going to be so tough for all these teams in the Big 12 to be able to match up with. Now, you lose Kevin McCullough, you lose Terrence Shannon, that's a little bit of an issue, but dare I say, Mark Adams is a little bit of a peer coach than Chris Beard. I feel like last season really showed how big of a hand Mark Adams had to play with all the success that we did see from Texas Tech in recent years. I do think that this is going to be a Red Raiders team that is once again going to be very competitive. I'd be feeling a little bit better if I knew that Fardaz Amick was going to be coming back for a conference play, but they also do bring in someone like a Davion Harmon, who was able to put up double figures the last 2 seasons at Oregon. He's a little bit of a hit or miss guy, but did begin his career at Oklahoma, so he's got good familiarity just in general with this conference. Demarion Williams, not a guy that's going to put in a bunch of points coming over from Gardner-Webb, but able to be a very solid defensive player as well. So I do have Texas Tech in terms of my projector finish in at number 5. At number 4, I'm going to be going with Texas. Texas has more talent than a number 4 team would be, but I just don't know how Tyrese Hunter along with Marcus Carr coexist in the backcourt. With Marcus Carr, he was such a liability for this team last season, and that is really the big issue. I just felt like the Marcus Carr transfer in general didn't make sense on either front. Marcus Carr is very much a ball hog of a player, and I wish I could use a different term, but I feel like that's the most appropriate way of putting it. And at the same time, with Marcus Carr, he just is looking to play a little bit of a faster style in general like he did at Pittsburgh and Minnesota. Now, I will say this for Marcus Carr towards back half of the season, he was able to play a little bit better for the team. We have to give a little bit of credit where it is due, as from pretty much January 18th on, he was able to do a solid job being able to give the team 12.5 points per contest, shot 36.5% from three-point range. Turnovers could sometimes be a little bit shaky, but towards back half of the season, he only had 2 out of those games I mentioned a little bit earlier, where he had 4-plus turnovers, so he was able to do a nice job of being able to reduce that. Christian Bishop, I also think, is a nice X-factor for this team. He was able to give the team 5.5 rebounds per game. He gives some nice toughness down low, despite the fact that he is just 6'7", but for Texas, it's just being able to get all these pieces on the same page, and I think that Chris Beard bit off a little bit more than he could chew in terms of the transfer portal. He has brought in fewer transfers this year. He brings in Serge Ibarra Rice, double-figure scorer from New Mexico State, a program that they themselves do a solid job of being able to cut off the outside, but I just wonder how Dylan Disu is going to be able to fit in with this team, as I really like his overall game, but he was rarely used last season after 2 seasons ago at Vanderbilt. 15 points, 9 boards, a steal, a block per contest, shot 37% from 3 at 6'9". He's able to do a wide variety of things. I just felt like he was getting a little bit misused in general, and that's the big question mark with this team. You've got all sorts of talent with Texas. I haven't even mentioned Timmy Allen, who was their top scorer last season, and he's a Swiss Army knife as well, but I mean, positionless basketball is nice, but there needs to be some sort of order, and there needs to be some sort of direction, and it felt like Texas really didn't have that last season, and I'm not sure if they're going to have that this season, so I do have to put them number 4 in terms of my projector or finish. And number 3, and this is a little bit of a roll of the dice because we don't know how long Damian Ba is going to be suspended to begin the season, but I'm going to be going with TCU. Despite the fact that TCU was just atrocious from three-point range last season, they were in the bottom 40 in all of college basketball in terms of three-point shooting. I'm willing to invest in this team because Chuck O'Bannon, I think, is going to be able to up his three-point shooting game. Shot 34% from distance last season. I think that there's going to be more clean and open looks for him. And Mike Miles, I think, is one of the best players in all of college basketball. Needs to improve his three-point shooting a little bit in the offseason. I hear he's been able to do a solid job of that. And this is just a ferocious defense that is going to do a good job of sucking the life out of you, being able to get rebounds as a collective. Emmanuel Miller, Eddie Lampkin, both guys got you 6.2 rebounds per contest. Got a little bit of versatility with Miller. Only shot right around about 25% from three-point range last season, though. I do think that him not necessarily having the green light isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world for the CCU team, but Micah Peavy is someone that was a former top 50 recruit. I think that he's going to be able to take some massive strides forward. Only was able to put up about 6 points per contest, but you can tell that on the defensive side of things, he was really able to be a terrorizer in general. And take a look at what he was able to do the final 11 games of the season. It wasn't like rambunctious numbers or anything like that, but he was able to shoot 63% from two-point range, so he was highly efficient with his shots. He was able to give you 4 boards. He was able to also deliver nearly a block and a steal per game. He just does it all for the team, and there are a lot of those guys for TCU where they don't necessarily have the world's greatest stats or anything like that, but they just play as a collective. Soleimani Diombade is going to be coming back. He's a big body that I think is going to be able to spell some of these guys. Xavier Quirk is someone that goes a little bit under the radar, but I liked what I saw out of him on the defensive end. This is going to be a team that just has tree after tree after tree coming in, and I think that it is going to be a nightmare to face off against this team, so I do have, as a result, have TCU number 3. And number 2, I'm going to be going with Kansas. Kansas loses a lot from last season, as a matter of fact, 4 other top 5 scorers, but they do return Jalen Wilson, and Wilson, you could tell that with his suspension due to a DUI to begin the season last year, not necessarily the most savory thing in the world. That's a conversation for a different day. We're looking to make money, not have a decorum on that, but with that said, after he was able to shake the cobwebs out, after he was able to just get in rhythm in general. Things went really well for him as from January 15th on, he became the man that we were all expecting. Final 25 games of the campaign, 13.5 points, 8 boards, steal per contest, shot about 30% from 3-point range, down a little bit from his freshman season, but 6'8" combo player that I really like. And they bring in a guy that I think is going to be very much lost for that Texas Tech team in Kevin McCullough. Kevin McCullough is just able to give you a little bit of everything. Someone who his scoring is solid, but it's not necessarily going to leap off of the page for you. 10 points per contest. He also gives you right around 4.5 boards. He's able to guard multiple positions at 6'6". Shoots about 31-32% from 3-point range, but also gives you a steal and a half per contest, 3 assists per game. They need that after Christian Brown leaves for the NBA draft. He's not quite the 3-point shooter that Brown is, but he certainly is going to be able to have his imprint on this team. And then Joseph Yesufu, I think, is going to be taken off this season as well. You may recall while he was at Drake 2 seasons ago, he was able to give the team 13 points per contest as a 6th man, shot 38% from 3-point range. They're going to need him to help out a little bit, especially if Grady Dick is having a little bit of a tough time getting down the offense, which I do think that 6'8" freshman is going to be able to do absolutely amazing work for this team this season. But I do think another year in the fold in general for this team is going to be able to help him out quite a bit. And then I do think that DeJuan Harris is going to be able to do a nice job as a facilitator. He was all defense in the Big 12 as well, something that gets lost on a lot of people. Even though he only scored right around 5.5 points per contest, he was a big part of that fulcrum that was able to win the title last season. And you just take a look at the way that he was able to dole out the ball in general. From February on, he had massive numbers. Only 5.5 points per contest, but his assists per game went north of 4.5, 1.5 steals per contest, and his assist to turnover ratio from February on was north of 3-1. That is good efficiency, and that is something that Kansas is going to be able to bank upon. But the one thing that Kansas doesn't quite have that Baylor at number one does is that defense down low, and that's why I've got Baylor at number one. I think that Baylor deserves to be a top five team going into the season. I can't quite put them in front of my top three in UNC, Gonzaga, and Houston, but Baylor is right there. Caleb Lohner coming over after he had right around 6.5 to 7 rebounds per contest at BYU is big, because now he's going to be able to match up with Flo Thamba and Jonathan Chama-Chachwa down low. Jonathan Chama-Chachwa was missing during the NCAA tournament. In my opinion, it's a bigger reason why they were unable to make that big ride in the dance as a 1-seed, but still a guy that's able to give you nearly 7 rebounds per contest. Flo Thamba, he's able to give you a little bit more shot blocking, a little bit less rebounding than Chachwa, so you're able to mix and match those big men. They do lose Matthew Meyer, is able to come on towards the back half of last season, but I really do like Adam Flagler's overall game. Still not the greatest facilitator, but you can tell that it's gotten better year over year. 14 points per contest, shot 39% from 3-point range, a very solid shooter in general. And then LJ Cryer, a clean bill of health for him, is going to be absolutely massive, because he was limited to just 19 games last season. Being able to get him back out there on the floor and fully healthy is going to be very important, because if you take a look from January 1st on, when he was fully healthy for Big 12 play, so those grand total of, I believe, 8 or so games, he had at least 13 points in all but 2 of them. He was able to shoot in that time span over 45% from 3-point range. I think that he is going to be a very important part of this team, and I do think that he is really going to be able to take hold as well. And then you take a look at how Baylor is going to be able to replace James Akinjo. That is going to be very difficult, but you do bring in someone in Keontae George, who I think is going to be able to do a nice job of being able to guard multiple positions. He's a little bit of a better passer than advertised as well. He's really able to bomb it from 3-point range. And then on top of that, we've got an underrated transfer within the conference that I really didn't touch upon in the last segment that I think could be that ultimate glue guy, and that'd be Jalen Bridges. Bridges last season, while he was at West Virginia, he was able to give you about 8.5 points, 5 boards per contest. I really think that this is a guy that's going to be able to break out. He averaged 8 steals per contest overall in 2 seasons at West Virginia. Shot about 35.5% from 3-point range. I think that he's going to have a lot of impact on so many of these games. Even someone like Dale Bonner, him being a year older and wiser, that is going to be able to help out this team as well. I think that he could be able to make a little bit of an impact. And then Langston Love, who he did not play at all last season, but he was a very highly touted guy in the class of 2021. Most had him as a top 40 guy. He should be able to come in. That gives this team another element in the backcourt. I think that this is the deepest team in the Big 12. I think that they're going to be especially tough down low, bringing in Thamba along with Jonathan Chachwa to be able to pair up with Lohner. I think that that makes Baylor a supreme team and a team that in general, I think has a chance to be able to compete for a Final Four. I've got Baylor number one in terms of my projected order of finish for the Big 12. And that will wrap things up for my Big 12 Conference Preview Edition right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts. If you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way, that is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the year in the offseason, news and notes of college basketball, along with these conference previews, once we get in-season picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I will chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.